Department of Dermatology at Baylor College of Medicine. For super dry skin, try heavier petroleum ointment or a cream containing ceramides. If you have darker skin and have trouble getting your daily moisturizer or sunscreen to be completely absorbed, look for a tinted product, which can help avoid any stubborn white streaks, as Dr. Analik. Run a humidifier. Create moisture indoor air by running a humidifier in rooms where you spend the most time. Move it to the bedroom at night to run while you sleep. When you take a shower, you can create moisturizing sauna by keeping the bathroom door closed, which will help trap steamy air inside. Get it checked. If dryness leads to an itchy rash, see a doctor. Also, see one if you experience symptoms such as fatigue, unexplained weight gain, wounds that are slow to heal, or numbness or tingling on the hands or feet. In rare cases, this may be a sign of a condition like type 2 diabetes or hypothyroidism that can trigger dry skin or a rash. That article was Problem Solved, Dry Skin by Richard Laliberte. The next article is Natural Benefits of Elderberries by Erica Ellen Sansone. Elderberries have been used for centuries to enhance immunity and treat upper respiratory infections. Research shows that the antioxidant-rich berries have antimicrobial properties, which may make viral infections such as flu shorter and less severe, says Amanda Bowes, ND, chief clinician at National University of Health Sciences in Lombard, Illinois. Try her ideas for using them at home. Just be sure they're cooked to avoid an upset stomach. Immunity boosting smoothie. Start by making elderberry syrup. Add 3/4 cup dried elderberries, available online, to 3 cups water. Bring to a boil, lower heat, and simmer 45 minutes until reduced by half. Cool, then drain liquid through cheesecloth. Reserve the syrup in a blender. Combine a handful of spinach or kale with 1 cup blueberries, blackberries, or strawberries. Add enough water, almond milk, or coconut milk to cover ingredients and drizzle 1 tablespoon elderberry syrup. Blend well. Makes 1 to 2 servings. Healing balm. If you're prone to cold sores, mix up this antiviral salve. Make elderberry syrup, recipe at left, but add 2 sticks of cinnamon and 1 teaspoon dried cloves while it simmers. Cool, strain, and add 1 cup honey. Take 1 tablespoon daily by mouth to prevent cold sores, or dab 1/8 teaspoon directly on the sore at the first sign of tingling. Store in a lidded jar in the fridge for up to 2 months. An anti-inflammatory facial. Reduce the signs of sun damage with this moisturizing mask that's safe for sensitive skin. Make elderberry syrup. Then add 1 cup honey, which has antimicrobial properties to fight inflammation. Stir well. Apply about 1 tablespoon to face and leave on for 10 minutes. Rinse and pat dry. Store in a lidded jar in the fridge for up to 2 months. That article was Natural Benefits of Elderberries by Erica Ellen Sansone. That concludes today's reading for December 29th, 2020's episode of Prevention Magazine. This has been Herbert Gilmore for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American's Business and Oil and Lifestyle sections, followed by Far West Texas News at 7.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 28 and clear. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-40s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram's oil report for Saturday, January 2nd. glimmers of rebound. Fed survey indicates industry activity on the rebound. The story was written by Miller McEwen. Early signs of an energy industry rebound taking shape can be seen in the quarterly energy survey conducted by the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. Quote, "Activity is on the rebound, but it's starting at a very low level," said Kunal Patel, business economist with the bank. Patel said surveys in the first two quarters of the year showed large declines, which the third quarter showed stabilization. He said responses from 146 oil and gas companies, both exploration and production companies and service companies, indicated signs of improvement for the industry. Several indices in the industry moved into positive territory in the fourth quarter, most notably the Business Activity Index, the broadest measure of industry financial health. This index surged to 18.5 from a negative 6.6 in the third quarter. This is the first positive reading since the first quarter of 2019, he said in a phone interview. A majority of firms expect to increase capital expenditures next year or keep them close to 2020 levels. While that may benefit service companies through increased activity, Patel said any increase in production may bring mixed results. Given that some respondents indicated oil and natural gas production needed to decline for the industry to get better, quote, "it's unclear what impact that may have," end quote. After three quarters of decline, crude oil production moved into positive territory, barely, rising from 1 to a negative 15.4 in the third quarter. Natural gas production remained negative, but improved to a negative 2.1 from negative 10.1. Employment in both sectors of the industry continued to decline, but the pace of the decline has begun to moderate, and improvement in hours worked reflected a rise in activity. Oilfield services continued to see margins shrink to a negative 31.9 from negative 30.8 in the third quarter, as improved costs for goods and services were negated by declining prices for services received. Still, equipment utilization jumped 25 points to positive 6.4 in the fourth quarter. Overall, company outlooks jumped to 21.6 from 1.9 in the third quarter, while uncertainty sank to a negative 13.8, the lowest since the survey began in the first quarter of 2017, according to Patel, from positive 17.2. A majority, 47%, believe that by the end of 2022, there will be between 37 and 48 publicly listed independent exploration firms, down from the 60 currently listed. Addressing the environment, the survey also asked respondents about plans to reduce CO2 emissions, methane emissions, flaring, and recycled or reused produced water. Large firms, classified as those producing 10,000 barrels of oil per day or more, plan to address those issues, led by recycling or reusing water and reducing flaring. A majority of small firms, those producing less than 10,000 barrels of oil a day, plan to do none of the above, but a majority of those with plans expect to address methane emissions, followed by efforts to reduce flaring. 82% of service companies said they don't generate any revenue from alternative energy sources, while 13% said not more than 20% of the revenue comes from alternative energy. But by the end of 2025, only 55% of service firms expect to see no revenue from alternative energy, while 36% see up to 20% of the revenue coming from alternative energy. Quote, There looks to be some amount of shift in oil field service firms generating some revenues from alternative energy, Patel said. Still, oil field service companies look to focus on oil field services, end quote. New law should help advance carbon capture and utilization. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Efforts to advance carbon capture technology and promote natural gas now have the weight of law. U.S. Senator John Cornyn's LEADING Act, which stands for Launching Energy Advancement and Development Through Innovations for Natural Gas, became law as part of the omnibus funding bill signed by President Trump on December 27th. Quote, rather than regulate energy providers into the ground, this law will encourage industry innovation, said in a statement announcing the act's becoming law. Quote, the LEADING Act will lower energy bills for Texans and protect them from the massive costs of alternative energy plans like the Green New Deal, all while protecting our environment long-term, end quote. The development drew praise from local oil and gas officials. Quote, the PBPA is very pleased that the LEADING Act was incorporated into the Omnibus Act and will now become law, Ben Shepard, president of the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, told a reporter telegram by email. Quote, Senator Cornyn has been a true leader on energy issues for many years. The LEADING Act is one of those rare, truly bipartisan efforts aimed at focusing on sound energy policy, which will serve everyday Americans for decades to come. Natural gas is the leading feedstock for electric generation in the U.S. This act will accelerate the development of carbon capture technologies, which will help the industry continue to reduce emissions, he said. Todd Staples, president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association, told a reporter telegram by email, quote, we applaud Senator Cornyn's focus on research and development. As the leading investor in emission-reducing technologies, the Texas oil and gas industry is producing energy in cleaner and more efficient ways than 10 to 15 years ago. The pandemic has reinforced that oil and natural gas are essential and irreplaceable. Investments in innovation and technology will continue to be the driving force in providing clean, affordable, and reliable energy to families across Texas and the United States, end quote. Ed Longenecker, president of the Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association, told the reporter telegram by email that his association appreciated the bipartisan support behind the act. Quote, this will help advance the development and application of natural gas carbon capture technologies, one of many areas of focus within our industry to reduce energy emissions and drive further innovation throughout the oil and gas value chain. Republicans and Democrats should continue to identify opportunities to collaborate on policies that will support reliable, affordable, and environmentally sound energy sources like natural gas, and less time debating unrealistic energy policy proposals that would have a devastating impact on our economy, end quote. Jason Magdalene, president of the Texas Alliance of Energy Producers, told a reporter telegram by email, quote, Alliance members applaud Senator Cornyn for continuing to find solutions to advance domestic fuels. The LEADING Act recognizes the critical importance of natural gas as an everyday fuel to continue to power the U.S. economy and as an emission solution that can be applied without causing damage to the Texas and U.S. E&P industries. Today, Texas natural gas is lowering U.S. and global emissions by replacing dirtier burning fuels like coal and biomass. The leading act will keep Texas and our nation in the driver's seat on carbon capture technology and utilize the innovation of the oil patch to provide tangible environmental benefits, end quote. Steve Melzer of Melzer Consulting and director of the annual CO2 conference said in a phone interview, quote, "The bottom line is a huge focus on reducing CO2 emissions. The problem has always been how expensive alternative fuels are. This bill looks to create a breakthrough in that area," end quote. The Permian Basin, with its extensive CO2-based enhanced oil recovery infrastructure, could benefit from advancement in carbon capture, utilization, and storage. Melzer said, noting that the region has huge amounts of reservoir space to store CO2. Carbon capture, utilization, and storage is seen as a mechanism to reduce CO2 emissions, and that, he said, can maintain a lot of employment for young engineers, end quote. That captured carbon can also be used in other efforts, such as concrete manufacturing, though Melzer said those volumes would be insignificant when compared to the volumes used in enhanced oil recovery. And while new CO2 pipelines are not included in the legislation, quote, "I'm of a mind transportation will be a big deal," Melzer said. "It doesn't authorize them, but it says, get after it and make it a priority. We're likely to be a priority area," end quote. Melzer said the key is for technology to pass the economics test. While the Department of Energy has been active in basic research, he said there needs to be more practical field testing and industry needs to be enlisted in that process. Before the Leading Act was passed, Melzer said the most significant effort to promote carbon capture was the 45Q tax credit for carbon capture projects. There is still uncertainty over what projects qualify as secure carbon storage in order to receive the tax credit, but the Act has extended the deadline to begin construction on projects to the end of 2025. Quote, "I know of some Permian Basin projects that can utilize that tax credit," Melzer said. The Launching Energy Advancement and Development Through Innovations for Natural Gas Act would require the Secretary of Energy to establish a program for the research, development, and demonstration of commercially viable technologies for the capture of carbon dioxide produced during the generation of natural gas-generated power. Specifically, the bill would require the U.S. Department of Energy to establish a program to develop cost-effective carbon capture technologies for use by natural gas-generating power facilities. By incentivizing research and innovation, the goal is to accelerate development and commercial application of natural gas carbon capture technologies and create a partnership with the private sector for demonstration projects. Encourage the DOE to include the participation of national laboratories, universities, and research facilities, including the National Carbon Capture Center. Require the DOE to solicit applications for demonstration projects and submit a report to Congress detailing legislative recommendations, applicant evaluation method, expected goals for technology development, estimations of project costs, and timelines for project construction. Railroad Commission exceeds legislative mandates despite challenges of 2020. The story was written by Mella McEwen. In one of the most challenging years facing the state's oil and gas industry, the Railroad Commission, charged with overseeing the industry, not only managed to maintain operations amid the pandemic, but exceeded a number of key legislative goals. Quote, "The Commission was able to exceed our performance goals this year because of the hardworking employees that I am proud to work with," Christy Craddock, chair of the Railroad Commission, told a reporter Telegram by email. Continuing with the quote, "Our inspectors continue to perform their duties in the field, and office staff continue to process permit applications to keep the industry moving forward. Our IT upgrades helped as well, allowing operators to file applications and permits remotely, prioritizing health and safety for RRC staff and operators alike." End quote. During the state's fiscal year 2020, which ended August 31st, the commission plugged 1,477 orphan wells above the legislative target of 1,400. Wells were plugged at an average of 46.75 a day, with an aggregate depth of more than 3.22 million feet. The commission also investigated, assessed, or cleaned up 258 abandoned sites, exceeding the goal of 230 by 12%, and averaging 104 days to complete the cleanup. The Field Operations Section of the Commission's Oil and Gas Division performed over 347,000 inspections, exceeding the goal of 189,000 inspections, and averaging 2,100 inspections per inspector, more than 8,895 above the goal of 1,199. The section also reduced the percentage of wells not inspected in at least 5 years to 1%, exceeding the goal of 5%, and inspected 33.4% of the total well population, exceeding the goal of 22.5%. Between March 15th and August 31st, the Pipeline Safety Department conducted 3,032 evaluations, most virtually, and up from 2,523 evaluations in the same time frame of 2019. 6 new pipeline safety inspectors were hired, bringing the agency to an all-time high of 70 inspectors. The Hearings Division processed 2,091 new cases, an increase over the previous 3 years. The total number of dockets closed was 1,594. Of those closed, 1,531 were oil and gas dockets, which equates to just over 150 per examiner. Looking back over the year, Craddock wrote, quote, "There is no denying that this year was challenging for the oil and gas industry. As a result, the biggest issue we faced as an agency was managing to provide regulatory certainty during uncertain times. From day-to-day operations to proration discussions, our agency prioritized the Texans we serve by ensuring continuity of service and accessibility to the industry. The state could not afford an oil and gas industry shutdown, and our job was to make sure that operators could continue to provide energy for Texans who were working and learning from home, while implementing work-from-home policies for RRC staff. Our agency was able to continue performing inspections, processing permits, and responding to industry needs. I am proud of the work we have done and will continue to do to maintain regulatory certainty for operators and prioritize environmental, health, and safety standards for all Texans." End quote. Asked what she was most proud of in the agency's performance in 2020, Craddock replied, quote, "In March, when COVID-19 started to appear in Texas and our state started to shut down, this agency was faced with a challenge just like businesses and entities across the country. When I look back at the year, I am most proud of the willingness, drive, and hard work of our staff. In trying times, RRC staff met each challenge with resilience and effort, and I credit that hard work with the continued success we saw throughout the year. Whether it be switching to virtual platforms to conduct business, conducting an 11-hour open meeting to discuss proration, meeting our performance goals, developing the Form R32 datasheet for flaring information, or maintaining a presence in the field to prioritize the mission of this agency, our staff exceeded all expectations, and I am proud of the hard work that this agency completed. While this industry is not out of the woods quite yet, I know that this agency is poised to meet the needs of all Texans because of the excellent staff that we have on board." End quote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, January 3rd, 2021. Big Oil, the Party's Over. By Dennis Elam, Associate Professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and the 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. Quotes: BP predicts peak oil has been seen. Japan to mandate all electric cars by 2030. Big Oil records $145 billion write-down. BP revised its earlier outlook for a longer demand period for crude oil products, but the update this year suggests that peak demand occurred in 2019-20. The worldwide reduction in travel due to COVID-19 drove prices negative for some time, and slack demand now has capped the price of West Texas Intermediate crude at $50. As always, the usual suspects are adding to the industry woes. Russia, Iran, and African countries have little to sell other than oil. Oversupply exists worldwide, including the U.S. The best evidence of that is the number of rigs drilling for oil in the U.S. at the close of 2020 is a mere 267. This is the lowest number since 2005. That was the year fracking really kicked off, resulting in U.S. energy independence for the first time in modern history. Japanese politicians have declared the country will have all electric cars by 2030. The Toyota Motor Corporation replied that even by then, the electric grid of Japanese would not support such a widespread demand. Undaunted, the politicians told Toyota to plan on it anyway. The cost of removing Trump will be high to the anti-Trump crowd. The same arrogance is occurring in the U.S. President Joe Biden, having won, now proclaims oil companies pollute, though they are apparently in compliance with current EPA regulations. Expect a ban on fracking on federal lands. As Texas entered the Union as a former nation, the only federal lands in Texas are national parks. Expect energy nominee Jennifer Granholm and Gina McCarthy at EPA to regulate most frackers out of business. The biggest vehicle sales are large pickups. Parking lots are festooned with them. They won't fit in a normal garage with a footprint about the size of efficiency apartments circa 1965. Electric car sales are less than 2% of American vehicle sales. Will voters revolt over this cram down of cars they won't buy now? An early warning emerged from California, where Democrats lost 4 House seats in the last election. California and New York continue to lose population to Texas and Florida. House sales in Austin are now closing on an hourly basis to well-heeled former Californians. Will these transplants, loathing Democrat policy, continue to vote for what they rejected by moving? The stock market ends the year on a new high, but the broader market is sounding at least a correction. The McClellan Summation Index for the NASD and NYSE is rolling over. The number of stocks above various moving averages has started a slow decline. We cannot know if this is just a correction or a longer-term event. Keep reading this column for updates on just that. The Economist, 2020, A Retrospective, by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group. Without question, 2020 will be remembered as the year of the coronavirus. The public health crisis and resultant economic calamity have had wide-ranging implications throughout the whole of society. The encouraging trajectory of the U.S. economy as the year dawned was abruptly reversed, and a solid and lengthy expansion was halted as huge swaths of the business complex were severely curtailed or shuttered. Perhaps the most striking feature of the nosedive was its unevenness. The pandemic has impacted individuals and families in vastly different ways. Some have faced unemployment or reduced hours. Others in healthcare and essential jobs have both labored more than usual and faced increased risk. Many have transitioned to working and schooling from home. Some industries are struggling to survive, while others are experiencing steady or even soaring demand. Airlines, hotels, and other travel businesses, restaurants and bars, and many types of firms have been devastated, while some have seen explosive growth, such as online retailers and delivery services. Energy was jolted, with oil prices plunging due to collapsing demand, paired with a surplus of oil, which has been particularly challenging for the Texas economy. Small businesses struggled, while the tech giants propelled the stock market to new heights. States have had vastly varying reactions and approaches to dealing with the pandemic, for better or worse. Disparities between rural areas with limited health resources and major